impossible to speak about some one virtue without bringing in another one. Like humility and love go together, and meekness and patience. Well, tonight I was going to speak just on patience, and it's woven in with mortification. But since Lent's coming up, I figured maybe that was supposed to happen. So I'll begin with this little blip from some retreat notes of a friend of mine. Ways to grow impatience are courteousness, sympathy, spirit of genuine forgiveness, such as I trust you again attitude, compassion, equanimity, courage in suffering for patience is summed up in the willingness of one to suffer and endure suffering. And that's what Jesus says in his teaching here. He says, love is patient. Yes, it is true. Patience so closely follows holy love, holy humility. It is the virtue that reflects love and humility more than any other. Patience is the fruit of love and humility, which allows the soul to unite to the cross. Where patience is lacking, you find a flaw in love and humility. If holy love was a delicious soup, the broth would be patience, flavored by the ingredients of love and humility. Patience is like a sandcastle built by the sea, the sand being love and humility. It takes human effort to construct the castle. Thus, you must, with your will, turn your hearts over to patience. Do not allow your efforts in this virtue to be washed away through self-love. Now, that was Jesus' teaching. Now, in this book, A Year with the Saints, I found a couple little quotes. This one is from St. Augustine. There is no better test to distinguish the chaff from the grain in the Church of God than the manner in which sufferings, contradiction, and contempt are born. Whoever remains unmoved under these is grain. Whoever rises against them is chaff, and the lighter and more worthless he is, the higher he rises. That is, the more he is agitated and the more proudly he replies. And then St. Thomas a Kempis, he has not true patience who is willing to suffer only what he pleases and from whom he pleases. The truly patient man does not regard the length nor the kind of his sufferings, not yet the person who makes him suffer, whether he be a superior, an equal, or an inferior, whether he be a holy man or ill-disposed and dishonorable. His only aim is to suffer. And then from our book on divine intimacy, patience makes man master of himself by controlling the passions of concupiscence, and patience makes him master of himself by controlling the impulses of anger. The great value of this virtue lies in the fact that it assures the soul of that inner peace which is so necessary in order to fulfill serenely all its duties towards God and toward his neighbor. The soul, when upset by resentments and anger, is unable to see things in their true light, to form unbiased judgments, to make wise decisions or to keep words and actions within the limits of courtesy and kindness. A person's manner becomes brusque, unrestrained, and often unjust, provoking displeasure in others. Charity is cooled and harmonious. Relationships are disturbed. Unrestrained anger clouds the mind, preventing it from recognizing God's will, and thus making the soul swerve from the line of duty and follow the impulses of his passions. Okay, we're almost done. Don't get impatient. This is patient suffering of patient suffering of injuries, and who is really patient? And this is the imitation of Christ. What are you saying, my child? Stop complaining and consider my passion and the sufferings of my saints. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. What you suffer is but little compared with those who have borne so much for me, who have been strongly tempted, grievously afflicted, and put to the test in so many ways. You ought to remind yourself of the intense sufferings that others have endured for me, and that you may bear your own little miseries more easily. If they do not seem so little to you, take care that you do not magnify them because of your impatience. However, whether they are little or great, always try to bear them patiently, willingly, and without complaint. The better disposed you are to suffer them, the more wisely you act and the more merit you will have, because you have prepared yourself for it and are well disposed to accept it. Do not ever say, "I cannot endure this thing," from such a person. Nor should this be expected of me, for that person has done me a great wrong, accusing me of things I never thought of. But from someone else, I'm willing to put up with that, with what I think is fitting for me to suffer. This is a foolish thought, for you're forgetting the virtue of patience, and by whom its practice is rewarded, only considering the persons and the offenses done. Therefore, they are not truly patient who will suffer only as much as they please and from whom they please. Persons who are really patient do not mind who causes their suffering, whether it be their superior, an equal, or someone of lower rank, or whether such a person is good and holy or evil and unworthy. We just read that in the other book. But whenever any adversity happens to them, whatever it is, and from whoever it comes, or how often, they accept it gratefully as from the hand of God, and consider it a great benefit, for they well know that there is nothing we can suffer for God that goes without merit. So be ready to fight to win the victory. Without a conflict, you cannot obtain the crown of patience. If you reject the suffering, you reject the crown also. But if you wish to be crowned, resist strongly and suffer patiently. There is no rest without labor, nor victory without battle. And one, I don't know if this will help any of you or not, but one thing that truly tries my patience personally is waiting. No, it's not you, honey. It's waiting in line. And it doesn't matter what line I get in at the supermarket, it turns out to be the longest and the slowest, even if it's the express line. something happens to the cash register or the cashier or someone in front of me, and it takes forever. One time I switched lines so much that everybody got out of the store ahead of me. So I finally decided this was not a way to handle this particular cross. So I decided to offer up all waiting in line for poor souls in purgatory because they're waiting. And now I don't have to wait anymore. As soon as I decided to offer it up, it went away. Well, anyway, here's one on bearing with the defects of others. There will always be defects in ourselves or others which we cannot correct. These we must simply tolerate until God in His goodness sees fit to change things. After all, this may be the best possible way to prove our patience, without which our good qualities are not worth much. Nevertheless, you must pray earnestly that God in His mercy will help you to bear these impediments with patience. If once or twice you have warned someone and that person does not comply, do not contend further with such a one, but leave all in the hands of God, that His will be done, and that He be glorified in all His servants, for He knows well how to turn evil to good. And then I just have a couple Bible quotes. This is from Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patient endurance, kindness, generosity, faith, mildness, and chastity. And this is from Hebrews chapter 10. Do not then surrender your confidence. It will have great reward. You need patience to do God's will and receive what He has promised. For just a brief moment, and He who is to come will come. He will not delay. And then from Romans 15, everything written before our time was written for instruction, that we might derive hope from the lessons of patience and the words of encouragement in the Scriptures. May God, the source of all patience and encouragement, enable you to live in perfect harmony with one another according to the Spirit of Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and voice you may glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks very much for being so patient.